Uh-oh.
Debate on your own, huh?
No, I didn't get any.
The House Committee on Education will come to order. It's Monday, February 15th. We're at the halfway mark. Congratulations, everybody. It's 1 o'clock. If you have a cell phone, BlackBerry, or PDA, please turn it all the way off so that you can be completely focused on the riveting hearing we're about to have on many exciting issues. And I would like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 987. And Dana, will you give us a summary? And Senator Hatch, do you want to come on up? Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 987 would rename those pilot education service districts shared governance ESDs. It would require that existing pilot ESDs organize shared governance ESDs under certain circumstances. It provides for recall of elected shared governance ESD directors and staggering of terms for ESD directors. And then we've got an amendment, which I can speak to that, Madam Chair.
All right. Yes, please.
The Dash 1 amendment specifies that employees that are employed by an ESD that is reorganized become employees of the new ESD. It specifies that those employees would retain their seniority, accumulated sick leave, and vacation leave from their previous ESD. And it specifies that the obligations of the old ESD become the obligations of the new ESD.
Thank you. Senator Hess, and if you could talk to us both about the bill and the amendment.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Well, Mark Hess, Senate District 14, Madam Chair. This committee always intimidates me. I don't know why, but it's the brain power. I won't go over the briefing you had from Administrator Richardson. I do want to say...
Pull the microphone closer to you so we can hear you. Thanks.
We are very familiar with this bill on the Senate side. We have passed it not once but twice, both times unanimously. The little reform there have been in the ESD system over the last decade has been mostly this idea where three ESDs were put into models, governance models, in which the board members were appointed rather than elected. And that will go away without this bill. After it passed in the Senate last time, there was, as you know, a consolidation measure that we also passed, and this bill became moot with that consolidation measure, which we thought was going to pass the House, and of course it didn't on the final days of the session, and so this technical fix got left on the floor. We need to fix, this is a technical fix that we need. This is not ESD reform. No one is more supportive of a major top-to-bottom ESD reform than I am. But this isn't it. And if anything, without this bill, things may be worse in ESDs, if that's possible. But we did hear testimony from some of these ESDs, particularly High Desert in Deschutes County, that with an appointed board, there was more accountability. And there was savings of taxpayer money in a couple of levels, but one immediately is the savings in election costs, where you don't have to go to voters and with special elections. So, in some ways, what I'm asking you to do here is fix a squeaky door on a house that's going to be torn down and rebuilt in 2011. But nonetheless, this needs to be done here. We resisted efforts in the Senate the second time to do any kind of other structural ESD reform in this bill because it just is a tiny technical issue that needs to be fixed as is, and that's how we passed it not once but twice in the Senate. You may know that the governor's reset process has a reform task force that's going through, and they're going to submit their recommendations later this year that I hope we can work on in the 2011 session. But I can tell you, whether it's that reform or something else, we will make a major step, I think, even more dramatic and more thoughtful than the one we did in 2009 to reform what we now know as our ESD system. So with that, I'll take any questions. As for the amendments, we had them drafted in the consolidation bill last session, so they're not new to me. I just left them off here because I really needed this to pass, and I didn't want it jeopardized with issues that may not speak to the need for this.
Thank you, Senator Hatch. Are there any questions? Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Senator Hatch, why make it a permanent change instead of, because that says something about we maybe think it's worked and we're not really, I don't know that with the stuff that's happened at Willamette, other kinds of stuff. Why not a sunset down, you know, 4, 8, 5, 6 years from now? What's the reasoning for making it a permanent change? I mean, I understand that a permanent change is only as permanent as the next legislative session.
Well, the reason, Madam Chair and Representative Roblin, is because these appear to be working, particularly up in my neck of the woods at the Beaverton over to the coast, sort of the northwestern area, the northwestern ESD, and the high desert. They appear to be making things more accountable. And there was a cost savings. So that's what we heard from last year. That's why the bill was introduced, and that's why we're pushing forward with it, is that it does work. You know, with respect to the Willamette ESD and the disaster that is there, honestly, I don't see how not doing this would help improve that situation. If anything, it might make it worse.
Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hass, great to see you. And, you know, as you know, I'm quite a supporter of ESD reform myself.
Yes.
But just following on Representative Roblin's line of questioning, what is the downside to keeping the status quo as it is? I mean, if we do nothing with this bill, then the status quo will remain in force, right? The ESDs will remain as pilot programs, or is... At what date would they revert back to being, the status quo ante?
It's in the statute. Administrator Richardson, maybe you have that. But this bill will keep the status quo in so much as it keeps these pilots from. And I understand they're going to sunset at a date, what, in 90 days?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure who I'm addressing. I don't think it's quite that soon. I'm sure Ozzie Rose will know. I have that information.
Yeah, but it's before the next session, and they go back to the old structure. So by not doing anything, we're not keeping the status quo. We revert back to what it was a couple of years ago.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'd like some clarification on that. My own inclination would be to maintain the status quo while we're looking at, you know, broader examination of ESDs in general.
Madam Chair, Representative Dimbrough, then I think that's another reason I feel the same way of why we ought to pass this, just to keep that intact. And the consolidation measure, by the way, that the Senate passed and fell short over in the House, would have changed all of the ESDs to this structure, of appointed structure. And the county clerk testified that would save taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars in election costs. And we had thumbs up from educators and people on this issue of changing the governance model. In the Multnomah ESD, for example, we have people running for ESDs. In the Multnomah, we have a disgraced former sheriff who's now on the board. People don't pay a lot of attention to who they elect in an ESD district. They just don't. And in the Northwest ESD, I know that this has created a more accountable situation, and at least the school districts in Beaverton think that this is a better model.
Representative Huffman.
The senator answered. Thank you.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following up on Representative Dembrough's question, there's a lot of room between letting the status quo die and going back to the status quo ante and permanence, which this bill would institute, I believe. Was there discussion on the Senate side about extending the current pilots while we sort some things out? The debacle in the Willamette ESD may not be worsened by what we're doing, but I don't see evidence, reason to believe that it will be bettered, improved by what we're doing.
Madam Chair,
being asked to do here.
Yeah, Representative Parker, I think that's a fair point. I think we just made it permanent because, like I said, there was not one single word of opposition. We got thumbs up from everybody on this. And that as we are going in that direction with not just these three, the idea was that these three were working and that we should go to a similar governance model for all. In fact, we were very tempted in the Senate to do that, and this bill would have had all ESDs, but we just wanted to preserve what was there and not jeopardize losing this bill. And, I mean, it's a fair point, but I just, to be truthful, I just don't see how this would improve the Willamette ESD situation if now, after the fact, we go back to elected directors instead of appointed.
Okay. Very quick follow-up. I guess it's not even necessarily a question, but there is opposition over here, which we're going to hear from and about, and I'm not sure why the opposition is appearing here and not on the Senate side, if that's in fact what's happening. So let's see how it plays out.
All right. Representative Van Orman.
I want to make sure I understand the governance model. According to my information, the governance model is made up of each district, which has five directors elected by the boards of the school districts representing geographic zones, as well as the appointment of four directors by the first five directors. So what it appears to be is that then there is no public involvement in the election of these directors other than through the school boards. Am I correct?
Well, you know, school board superintendents, I think, are pretty public figures, and they're hired and fired by their school boards. And my observations have been these people pay closer attention, are frankly more qualified, and more responsive to the needs of their school districts. You could compare and contrast, but one of the reasons this pilot study was undertaken and passed several years ago, my belief was that the elected board members weren't always as responsible and responsive to the needs. That's why this came out of a task force recommendation to begin with. I mean, this wasn't a legislative-driven issue. This came out of one of those task forces and recommendations, and I'm sure Isaac Rose could give you more on the history of this, but this was sort of like a first swing at trying to reform these things, you know, whenever, 5 years ago. So it was on that basis that we got here.
Thank you. So I have a follow-up to that question. In my education service district, Lynn-Benton Lincoln ESD, our directors are still elected. Do you find the Lynn-Benton Lincoln ESD board to be less effective than the Willamette ESD board?
I don't think the board had anything to do with the scandal that's going on, one way or the other, truthfully. We have just had a lot of testimony from the districts that are involved here saying this is a good model. It seems to work. It seems to work better. The overall ESD structure, it, to me, is what's not working. The administrative overhead, the car allowances for all of the superintendents and deputy superintendents, that's the problem. We have a system that was originally intended for small schools so they could pool their resources. And I think that's what I want to get to. And that's what we need to. That was the genesis of that bill that passed the Senate last year, the consolidation bill. And I think if we'd done something smarter with ESD reform, we could have prevented what happened in Willamette, the scandal that happened up in Beaverton, and the scandal that happened in northeastern Oregon. That's where this bill came from originally. The one with they were buying airplanes and superintendents, and you know there was all of that abuse. So I'm not sure you could have prevented WESD's scandal, except in a case where WESD wouldn't have been that big because Salem-Keizer doesn't even want or need an ESD, according to the superintendent and their board. They lobbied us in the Senate to let them, in this session, opt out of their ESD. And we looked at that and held a hearing on that last week, and we just weren't quite ready to get there. It's a very thorny issue involving taxing districts and very complicated and probably not appropriate for a February session.
And I know Representative Huffman and Representative Kopp have questions. I just have one more follow-up. What do you see as the appropriate role of a board or a board member of an educational service district? What purpose do they serve, and what protections does the public get by having a board of an ESD?
The same governance that you have with many other organizations, whether they're appointed or elected. I'm on the board of the Northwest Health Foundation, the oversee broad policy. But the structural deficit in the ESD system, to me, far surpasses, you know, how the board is picked, elected, or appointed.
Okay. Representative Huffman and then Representative Comp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hess, we talked last year and I had told you that I would support this governance model of the bill. And I meant that whether it's last year or this year, I will support it based on the fact that it is an optional thing. One point of clarification, though, an ESD district is not an ESD district is not an ESD district. Jefferson County ESD, the superintendent is also the superintendent of 509J School in Jefferson County. And the ESD pays $12,000 a year of his salary. And so most of the stories I read talk about superintendents that are making six figures a year and lots of bonuses and stuff, but I just want everybody in this room to understand that's not the way it is with all the ESDs out in rural Oregon.
Thank you, Representative Huffman. Representative Comp.
Thank you. Senator Hess, just for clarification, now, we know, most of us know, that, as you stated, there's a work group that's working on a lot of these issues. So if we didn't take action on this bill right now, what would be the immediate result, just for clarification in my mind?
Well, Ozzie Rose will speak to this more clearly, but this will revert back to elected board of directors for these ESD boards in these three ESDs, High Desert, Willamette ESD, and Northwest.
That's the ultimate
result.
Thank you. Didn't have enough lunch. Okay, thank you.
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I think I get a little nervous when we're talking about saving money by getting rid of elections, because I don't know, it just makes me cringe a little. I'm thinking, gee, we could save a whole bunch of money just by just making everything appointed. But as far as the WESD and how they don't, or excuse me, how ESDs, people don't pay attention to the board members who are being, I think the people in this district and the Willamette ESD will be paying more attention if they are able to, you know, vote for their board members. And right now, they're in that pilot program. I've been hearing about issues and situations and stuff going on at this WESD since before 2005. And in 2005, I remember the very last few hours of the whole session, the bill passed enabling this pilot program, and it didn't improve anything and that I could see. And so when I see in your testimony, it says we heard testimony from the High Desert ESD that there is more accountability and better service to the school districts. I'm wondering, what does that mean? Is that the board, or is that the management? Is it the folks who actually carry out the services? Is it the consumers? Who was saying that this appeared to provide more accountability?
That was from High Desert. It was in the testimony from last year. It came to our committee. And I think you can put that question to the ESD Association. And you know, remember that this bill came out of a reform look after a scandal in Northeast Oregon. This was one of the things, well, at least we should do this, if nothing else. It's very difficult to reform ESDs. I have the battle scars from last session to tell you how hard it is. Because what happens is you agree on a plan, and then one superintendent from Coos Bay calls their legislator or from North and said, you know, this is really bad. I need you to fight it. And so that legislator does, or Northeast, or from wherever. Even though the children, the teachers, and the schools in those areas will do better. Please keep this in mind. ESDs take 4.75% off the top from what we give to K-12. Okay, that is a lot of money. And I don't think it's spent wisely. And that's why we came up with this consolidation plan last year, was to reduce at least the amount of overhead we had in that system and return some of the money to the other side of the ledger, K-12s. That was my goal. And there are some people in Ways and Means who said, you know what we should do is let's just cut their percentage from 4.75 to 3.0. And so I started working with ESDs, and I said, I think there's a more thoughtful way to do this. And that's how we had that consolidation, though, that died here in the final phase. You know, this really doesn't do much to reform the ESD system, but it was a little bit, and I just didn't want to see it go away by not acting on it. That's really all this bill is. It's a technical fix, and we try to resist the calls you're getting here to change it or add something onto it. And it's really just this technical fix, so it's no more than that. And we can talk about ESDs all day long, but this is separate from ESD reform.
So I had one other question for you. You had mentioned the reset committee that's meeting on ESDs. I've had a hard time getting information about that. Nobody has talked to me about it. I don't know when they meet or where they meet or who's part of the conversation. Are you part of that conversation? And do you have any suggestions about how to bust that open so that stakeholders can be part of it and maybe it can come into a public meetings process?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure why you're not in the loop, but they've met, I think, only once or twice, and you can ask them about that. Then they testified. They've been testifying in the Senate, and they're going through this year. You know, whether or not they have a product that we'll like, I don't know, but I know that because of what happened last session, because of the reality that's out there, and because taxpayers are so upset, that I'm confident they'll come up with some sort of a product. And if they don't, I've let them know that we are all online in the Senate Education Committee to pass some kind of an opt-out agreement that allows schools to say no thanks to their ESD, like Salem-Keizer would like to do.
Do you know who they are? I have no idea who they are, and I don't know how to... Are you part of the...
There's a couple of us on here, but I'm part of
that. I am. But I wanted to know who the day was that is testifying.
Pardon?
I'm wondering who the day are that are testifying in the Senate.
We had a presentation from them on the very first day of session. I think it was Ozzy, a few other superintendents from schools who were on it. James Sager, who used to work with the governor.
Madam Chair, I have to make a qualifying statement because when I asked if we could share information about what our committee was doing, I was told no. So I'm conflicted.
So Representative Comp, in terms of that, has that been a normal experience for you in public life to be part of a body making a public decision and public recommendations and to be told to keep it secret and confidential and not share?
No, because I highly support the open public meetings law.
Thank you. Representative Roblin, have you had that experience before?
I have been on different boards that have made different decisions so that they could have open conversations amongst the group with the understanding that it was going to be made public so that people would have more conversations about it later. So I've been in groups that have done both, trying to figure out how best to get the information that they want to do and talk amongst themselves before they do it open. But in general, and as I've said in this group, the final analysis will be when anything comes out, whether it has any credibility will in large part depend on both the kinds of recommendations that are made if people like them and how much relating information they give with it so that people can understand the conversation that went to get to that point. So from my perspective, having conversations with different people that aren't necessarily open can lead to conversations, but it only leads to good public policy when there comes a point when it is really shared and everybody is in that conversation, because that's when good public policy gets made.
And I think clearly I'm just one member of a legislature and one chair of an education committee, but I would anticipate that any recommendations that came out would require some sort of statutory change.
Absolutely.
And it seems like some communication would be helpful. And just speaking personally, I don't know if this is something you can take back to the committee that seems to be rather secret. I probably would look somewhat suspiciously on something that was developed in the dark of night under the wrap of secrecy and question what it was about those discussions that needed to be cloaked in darkness from the people who are concerned about. And I know that's not your issue, just you had mentioned it, so I
just happened to be there.
Don't shoot the piano player.
Right.
And I guess I would encourage you, if the Senate has asked, you should ask Mr. Sager and others who helped bring the group together to come give it some testimony here. They've been happy to do it over in the Senate. I'm sure they'd be happy to do it here. So I would encourage you to make that request.
Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Gosar. I was just going to add to the conversation about open meetings laws that in my prior experience as a city commissioner, the only time that we were allowed to talk privately was when it was about land or land purchase, and that was simply to protect the value and the price. But otherwise, we had to come out in public, or excuse me, evaluating the city manager. That was private. So, and then we'd have to come out and reveal what we were talking about. But otherwise, we couldn't even be in it. There were five of us, and three of us could never be together.
Are there any further questions for Representative Haas, who has not created this committee? Just to be clear.
Sounds like a governor.
Senator.
Representative Rowe.
Actually, Madam Chair, more of a comment than a question, since the senator is here. You know, I think that what's happening in the Reset Committee is has value for itself. I think that the goal, as I understand it, is to advise the governor as he's putting together a sort of valedictory set of recommendations. But I think that we as a legislature are going to be facing these issues in the 2011 session. And I think it would be appropriate for the Senate and the House Education Committees to think about a more expansive conversation process in preparation for that. You know, that would involve just all the stakeholders, the people working in the districts, the you know, various school board members, ESD members, just to have a really broad conversation, because this is an issue, I agree with the senator, which is long overdue that a conversation happen and that we come to some consensus about how to handle ESDs in this state.
Representative Burkert, do you want to come to the dais too?
Listening to this discussion.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I would just like to point out this is evidence of why we turn off our cell phones, because there are people watching and listening. Apparently,
well, I didn't want to interrupt, but it took me a long time to get down here, so I don't know where you've moved on.
No.
For the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative, District 20. I sit on the same work group with Representative Roebland, Representative Comp. No one ever tried to muzzle me. Trust me. That would not go over very well at all. My understanding of this group was, we have a problem. The ESDs would like to help craft, you know, solutions, and that this work group, which does take minutes, does keep minutes. I mean, there's nothing secretive about it, but I will tell you, we met like three times, and I was at first very disappointed, but lately some useful suggestions and data has come forward that leads me to think that we might actually come to some cogent recommendations. Surely a full legislative work group would be wonderful. Can we afford it? And in the meantime, I would encourage you to come and join us if you can. Our meetings are posted. And to let this group go forward and see if it can be part of the solution, but perhaps not the whole solution. But I didn't want to leave the record that it was, one, secretive. It is not. At least, yeah.
I haven't been told I can't say anything to anybody. So
and no one ever told me that I'm not supposed to talk about it. In fact, I'd be happy to talk about it at any time, any place.
Do you know where those meetings are posted?
They have been at the WESD.
The public notice of the meetings, do you know where they're posted at?
I just get an email. Yeah, that they're meeting. And I would be happy to get you on the email list so that you know.
Maybe the whole education committee could be on that email list. I think that would be fantastic.
That.
And then we can share that with stakeholders as well, so they can be apprised of what's going on.
And if you're coming, please let them know, because the room is very small for the number of people that are in it. So if you care to come, let them know so we get a room big enough.
Representative Burkert, as always, you're very helpful.
Well, I just didn't want to leave that secret thing, because we are making progress, perhaps not the whole thing, but at least bringing forward from the ESDs themselves, and they're represented from all over the state. Those of you who are downstate, they're coming from a long way, some of these ESD folks.
And school district people.
And school district. My school superintendent, who was referenced, by the senator is in the room, too.
And Representative Berger, do you have a membership list of the Governor's Reset Committee that you could send to the committee administrator and then she could distribute it out maybe to both the Senate and House Education Committees?
I would be happy to get you such
a
thing.
Great. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gomp.
Thank you. To clarify, and I have sat at all the meetings, the group is moving in a really great direction. It has never been my intention that we can't, when somebody says, what we discussed here really isn't ready to move yet or be up for discussion outside of this arena because we are in progress, my interpretation, Representative Berger's representation of that is better than mine, because I take it literal. So maybe I shouldn't have taken it quite so literal. But that's, yeah.
And we may hear later from other stakeholders. It's been my understanding from people that have called my office and visited me that people have tried to get information about things like membership, meeting times, and that they have faced barriers in doing that. Maybe we'll have people speak to that as well.
Madam Chair, if I could just add in, the folks who are in the room and who are organizing this all have full-time other jobs, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have, like, staffing in the sense that we know staffing, and that's part of the issue. The people that, you know, it doesn't have assigned schedulers and staffing, so some of, and that, I think, is it, as much as anything, is the problem with the paperwork and the timing flow. I even showed up half an hour earlier and, I mean, didn't get the schedule right. So you can beat us up as a group for that. But I can assure you it isn't a deliberate, we're trying to hide the ball and move around and move our, you know, it's more of a lack of sort of the support issues.
Well, and I think this has been really helpful. Those concerns have been raised, and it now sounds like people can get access to the meeting times, dates, and locations, the membership, and upon request, the minutes of the meeting. You indicated that minutes are taken, and I hopefully that will resolve concerns that have been raised.
Minutes, I mean, sort of discussion points would be closer than minutes.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to come down. Any questions for Representative Berger?
Thank you.
Or further questions for Senator Haas? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. Representative Thatcher.
Not a question for them, but just a comment. You noticed that you had to ask, where would I find out where these meetings are taking place, who's a member of this? I think it's real important to us for us to look at all our public meetings, especially if they have to do with state issues, and they should be posted online. There should be one place for the public to go to figure out where the memberships of these committees are, or where they're meeting, when they're meeting, and I just think that's just something we should maybe not hear, but maybe the Rules Committee would take that
up. Thank you. Representative Maurer, did you have something to jump in with?
No, I mean, public meeting law is applicable to bodies that can make decisions. And so if the body can't make a decision, then there is no
requirement.
No requirement. But we are treading on some very delicate ground, and there's a lot of emotion obviously involved, and so the more open, the better. What's the plan here, ma'am?
Well, we have more witnesses.
Okay.
More people that would like to talk to us. You may have heard in the promotion leading up to this next witness that Ozzie Rose is here to talk to us to answer all of the questions we have about everything. Mr. Rose.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Ozzie Rose. I live here in Salem, and I represent the ESDs and the Washington County School Districts and the nonprofit long-term care facility, so I have a broad interest. And I was a math major, and everybody keeps referring to me as historian, and I don't remember the stuff I remember. Anyway, regarding the reset evolved out of our failure at being able to get people to focus, really focus, on the concept of regional services and the contribution they can make to get more services to kids at less resource cost. That's what the debate is about. And what I tell our members when I talk to them, our foreseeable future, resources are going to be an issue. And if we don't find better ways to do some things at a, with using fewer resources and still getting better service to our kids, we're going to have grave difficulty. So that's what the discussion is trying to focus on. I'm sure you've been, well, we were involved last session, the focus generally reverts to which ESD are you going to close down. And it has nothing to do with that. We can, they all could stay like they are. If we focus and decide how we can best get services across border, I coined the phrase last week, services without borders, or services without boundaries, I think that I actually did it. And that's what we're trying to talk about. I didn't know it was secret. In fact, when we testified in the Senate, Mr. Sager testified, and I was at the table with him, and he made some remarks about, well, if the governor, we produce stuff and the governor doesn't like. And I spoke up and said, I'm going to give a rip if the governor likes them or not. If they're good ideas, we're headed for the next session and beyond. Having said all that, 987, and I'll answer any questions also. 987 was only designed to extend the pilot ESD project, change the name to shared governance, set up their elections and the process, and allow other people to continue doing it. That's all it does. The argument over whether WSD would be better off or not, I think, is kind of a side thing, because I don't know. Many of the board members on the ESD board were on the old elected board. So I don't know that that's the issue. What I do know is the issue. If you don't do this, all the board members and those pilot ESDs are gone June 30th. The ESDs between now and the primary will have to rezone their ESDs, not based on the districts the way it is now, but back to the one man, one vote population issue, draw boundaries and et cetera. That's expensive. And the representative has a good thought, and sometimes it's better to spend money and not spend it. The fact is that the time and effort to do that in the next 80 days and get candidates in time to run for this election, I think is very problematic. It's also is expensive to run elections through the county. WSD, the last one they ran was, I think, $55,000. The last one Multnomah ESD ran was over $100,000. Whether we need to do that or not need to do that, I don't know. The reference earlier about what does the ESD board do, and they, and why can the appointed or elected members of local districts do the job, maybe do it better. There, every state has some form of a regional service agency. Some places they call them ESD, some places call them IED, some places, there are a number of different names. But every state has some form of regional service agencies. 21 of the states, the board of directors are the local school superintendents, all of them. And there is some argument that that's a good idea. The ESD board is not a policy-making board. It's a board that responds to the districts and sets up services that will help the districts do their job better. And the issue about whether they need to be elected, prior to 1990 or so, the ESDs used to have some authority to set taxes, put out elections, so forth. They don't have any authority in that arena. The funds allocated to the ESD are based on the total funds distributed in that component, or their all their component districts. So the board is not responsible for taxing or responsible for gathering funds. They are responsible for allocating they really don't have a lot of authority there. 90% of what they have to allocate to the school districts. So it's a little different situation than a county commissioner, cities, and so forth. This bill is important that it pass because of the chaos it will create if it doesn't pass. The bigger issue is what are we going to do about regional services? Make them so they serve kids and serve them better. People say, well, we can do it this way, we've been doing it that way. But times change. If you go back and look at the ESDs, they were originally a single person back in the 1850s or 60s, whenever we got started in this state. One person. And that person allocated money, hired and fired staff, and evaluated staff for all the districts, and set the boundaries of the districts. And the idea was to get some kind of central contribution to producing a state school system. And it's evolved over time. Now, it needs to be looked at. Things are different. Kids we have now are different than what were the issues we had 25 or 30 years ago. Our boundaries are different. Our population is shifting dramatically. And the computer has changed how we can instruct and how we can deal with data. There's a lot of things that are different than that existed when the current structure was set up. And it's the structure of regional services that is the issue, not the number of ESDs we have or their current boundaries. And with that, I will quit and answer any questions you might have.
Are there questions for Mr. Rose, Representative Norman?
Thank you, Chair Gilser. Ozzy, I'm still trying to understand the governance and the accountability piece. And it says five directors from school districts. Does that does not imply that that would be all the school districts within that service area. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Van Orman, these ESDs, the three of them, had to zone their ESDs based on grouping school districts together to as closely as possible represent an equal distribution of the population. They have five. So to the extent possible, they had to create five zones, like in the ESD here that we all like to talk about. Salem is so much larger than everybody. Two of the board members are elected from Salem. The other three are elected by the component school districts, and there's a certain number of school districts in each of the zones. And those are not appointed. They are elected by the local school boards. And if there's seven school boards in a zone, there are seven votes. And they elect the person who they want to elect. Those five, once elected, appoint four additional ones. And the rationale for the appointment of those four was the things that we do, again, trying to get the best available resources across an area. The ESDs happen to do a lot of the pre-K work in a district or in an area. So the four appointed ones are one, somebody from the social services area, one from the business community, one from higher ed, and one at large. And notwithstanding the discussions about whether this is good or bad or whether it's been successful, that part of it, I believe all the ESDs will tell you, has been a plus. Because at the table, every board meeting, a voting member representing each of those areas is involved in the discussion. So there's nine board members when it's set up.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think next we have Kathy Bonagowski and Tricia Smith. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You want to go first for a second? Okay. Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association, and I am here to offer OSEA's respectful disagreement to some of the things you have heard from the previous speakers about the appropriate action with regard to Senate Bill 987. First of all, let me say that OSEA has brought to the legislature what we consider to be the only real reform pieces for school districts and ESDs based upon the abuses that we keep seeing above the top of the fold in newspapers with the Golden Parachute Bill. We have supported and do support increased accountability in ESDs and school districts, for that matter, because these are the public's funds and these are the public's agencies, and the more the public knows and is involved in those, in the workings of those agencies, the better off we believe we all are, particularly the students who rely on the services of ESDs. That being said, we disagree that Senate Bill 987 is merely a technical fix. We think 987 is a significant policy statement in that it says we like this governance model so well that we are going to make it permanent in the three pilot districts, absent any research from those districts offered to you to indicate that it has indeed improved things. And we are going to allow all other ESDs to opt into this system if they choose to. I'd suggest there has been no research, no evidence brought to you to indicate that that is the case. All you know is Willamette, frankly. And at Willamette, we have seen that at best it did nothing. And at worst, perhaps it made the public less interested, less accountable, or the ESD less accountable to the district. We appreciate that the county clerks came to the Senate and suggested that this model saves money because the clerks are the ones who have to come up with the dough for elections, and their commissioners are leaning on them to save money just like everybody else. However, we do not believe that saving money is a reason not to get rid of elected officials. Representative Thatcher kind of stole my line on that one, and I will leave it at that. We believe that the public belongs involved in these discussions. These are taxing districts, and they do have the ability to raise bond money if they put bonds on the to issue bonds. Excuse me, my cold is interfering with my brain waves. And so we think that the public should be there. Our members on the coast would argue about North Coast, about whether or not combining the ESD into one mega ESD centered in Washington County actually provides them better service. They don't think necessarily it does, which is one of the reasons that we very strongly disagreed with the merger bill last session that Senator Haas referred to. We're very happy with the discussion in this committee on the reset committee and our ability now to understand and perhaps participate in some way in the discussions about what we can do to provide the services to students that they need as efficiently and as effectively as possible. We want to make ESDs better. We do not believe 987 is the vehicle to do that. We also don't think it's necessary to do that in order to avoid chaos this June. You merely need to extend the sunset date a little bit further to give you the opportunity to work with us and the other stakeholders in determining what we should do with ESDs. We would suggest that rather than making these governance models permanent, then instead you give yourself some breathing room and extend the sunsets for the current pilots so they don't have to go through the process outlined in the bill and that passed in the 2007 session, but giving us all time to decide what really should happen to ESDs without saying that this governance model is the way to go.
Thank you. Can we hear from both of them, and then we'll go to...
It's just a quick question specifically for Trish. Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you suggest to Senator Haas the possibility of just doing a sunset extension, and how was that received?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman. No, Representative Huffman, I didn't get the chance to do that. At the hearing where this bill was moved to the floor of the committee, while it was posted for public hearing, the chair didn't allow time for testimony, so I didn't get a chance to offer that to him.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kathy Bonagofsky, and I work at Willamette Education Service District and have been there for 15 years, so I've seen many years of growth and hardship and, you know, good times and bad. And I also am the chapter president for the OSEA unit there, and I'm on the state board for Oregon School Employees Association. And before you today, you have my testimony, and I simply would like to add a few things, having heard testimony prior to ours today, in that the question I have for you is, where is the data that shows that this governance model is effective? With due respect to Senator Hass's testimony, he said that this was created out of the debacle in northeastern Oregon at Union Baker ESD. And since then, the three ESDs that have come into question or come into the pilot model, two of those actually have had some great difficulty, one being Northwest and one being Willamette. So two of the three under the new governance pilot have had issues. And the question I have about the data is that what I heard were feeling-driven data. It's more that we feel it works. Where do we see, where is the proof in the pudding, so to speak, that this truly is a model that works? And time again, as we have gone through the debacle at Willamette ESD, staff, community members that I speak with, people who I don't even really know well, that when I say I work at Willamette, what their question to me is, where is the public in all of this? Why can't we vote for the board? And I truly believe that to put the public back into this situation will cause a greater amount of accountability. And the question was raised about the board members that are currently seated through the current governance model being able to continue in place. Everyone has the right to run for an office, and so they would have those opportunities. But I agree with Mrs. Smith. I think that we should let you guys have some breathing room and extend the sunset for a little while and really just take some time to consider and get the data that's required to make a good, sound decision and not one off the cuff.
Thank you very much. Representative Van Orman.
Thank you. Either one of you can answer this question. But one of the issues that's in this model is the involvement of the school superintendents. And my assumption is it's based on the fact that school districts often felt that they were not part of the decision-making at the ESD level. Do you think that that part worked?
Actually, I can answer that, Madam Chair, Representative Van Orman. Actually, according to everything I have seen and heard, including the Secretary of State's audit, showed that school districts had no more knowledge and investment and active activity in the process than if they were elected boards.
Thank you.
Representative Thatcher.
Could you point out where in that, I would like to turn to that in the audit. Can you tell us where that is, that information?
I don't have one.
Oh, sorry. Well, here's your mic.
I'll share mine. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Good morning, Madam Chair. We can look for a moment and then come back if you'd like to move on with your testimony.
Does page 14 ring a bell?
I know we should have memorized this audit. But.
please. Chairperson, Representative Thatcher, if you will reference page 14 under the weak governance practices, some of that is actually addressed in there, there continued to be a pattern of very little information going to board members, let alone out to school districts, and actually the superintendents who have been meeting to set our local service plan have actually been quite dismayed and frustrated with the lack of information, and it has actually caused some difficulty among the superintendents to the point that our ESD has had to bring in a facilitator to help get the superintendent subcommittee back on track and really looking at the services and to set aside the frustration they had with the lack of knowledge.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Is there anyone else that would like to be heard on this issue? In particular, COSA, OSBA, do you have a desire to weigh in? Yes.
Madam Chair, committee for the record, Bill Fleming, Carpenters Industrial Council. First, I'll say you folks have got your hands full. This problem is almost out of hand. Remember what the original intent of the Education Service District was, to provide needed services for special children, especially in the rural areas. And where have we went? Representative Huffman, you're exactly right. The people in the rural areas don't make the monies that they do in the big districts. But not one time in this meeting today was anything said about the kids with special needs. Committee, these are the ones we got to look at. This problem is from the governor's office to the man on the street. I don't know how you're going to work on this, but I beg of you to remember to take care of these special needed kids in our rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Cluding? And thank you very much. And one last go of it, is there anyone else that would like to be heard on this bill today? Representative Maurer?
Gavel it down.
All right, I will. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1987. Colleagues, I think we've gotten a lot of information to consider today, so let's not open a work session on this bill today. We'll bring it back in work session for Wednesday. It looks like there may be some significant interest on the committee in doing a sunset as opposed to a wholesale moving forward with making these permanent. So we can discuss that more on Wednesday. And I wonder as well, committee, if you would be interested in inviting the Reset Committee to come on Wednesday and give us an overview of the work that they have done so far, where they're headed, and what they're working on. Representative Maurer.
Yeah, Madam Chair, switch. Yes, answer your question. I'd like to switch topics just a little bit. So it's likely we'll have an amendment.
Yes.
A dash two on the sunset. Could we talk about the dash one and what its purpose is?
Yes. So do I need to open a work session
okay,
so we can talk about it? So let's open a work session on Senate Bill 987.
Did you close the hearing?
I did. Okay. I did.
Sorry.
And Representative Maurer, I believe you brought the amendment. Would you like to talk to us
well,
about it?
Well, it's in moving ESDs around in that restructuring, there are concerns that that collective bargaining agreements would be destroyed, seniority would be lost, and if there are purely administrative consolidations, that the employees of those districts not be put out into a pond on very thin ice that actually is harmful to them. It was not considered on the Senate side. It's really unrelated to the bill in most ways, but it still fits, and I think that it is a very simple fix to a problem that hasn't occurred yet, but could.
Representative Van Orman.
This is a question for Representative Maurer. This is based on the assumption that we would repeal the sunset?
No.
This isn't
really associated with a sunset of the bill, but if you consolidate ESDs, it's about the employees that work in these two districts.
Okay.
So that one district, that property transfers to the new consolidated district, that contracts are held until they would expire, and then they'd be renegotiated.
Okay.
That seniority is not lost, and that administrative, you know, this is not the employees making the decision, this is about an administrative change.
Okay. But not necessarily based on this bill.
No.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess a question for you, Representative Maurer. Mm-hmm. I look through this, and I'm to some degree thinking out loud here.
That's a problem sometimes.
It is, and I do it hesitantly. Trust me. As I look at this, and conceptually, sounds like a great idea. Could we find ourselves, I'm not coming up with an example, could we find ourselves in the dilemma of having, in honoring the contracts and all the collective bargaining agreements, having multiple players, or even two, at least multiple, people with the same position and create some logistical issues with merging?
The answer would be yes. I suppose you could imagine that, but all contracts expire. These contracts do not go in perpetuity. And I would assume that if you administratively combine a district, that the primary issues are going to be around seniority, and that those issues are going to have to be negotiated once that contract expires. But this is about going from a January 1st consolidation, for example, probably not an ESD, but more like a July 1st consolidation. Most contracts may have a year, maybe 2 years left, and you're going to have to play with those contracts in place.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm. It'll be no surprise to the committee that I'm fully supportive of the concept behind this amendment. But I'm wondering about the timeliness of it. If we are, in fact, going to move to continue the status quo, have a sunset, why is it necessary to pass this amendment now at this time? That would be my question. Since we're essentially maintaining the status quo, not changing anything, what is the purpose of the amendment?
Well, consolidation of ESDs aren't necessarily the purview of the legislature. The ESDs can consolidate outside, and so it is possible to conceive a consolidation of an ESD that doesn't involve a total reform of the ESD system.
Mm-hmm. So
I have not specifically answered your question about is there an imminent problem. I don't see one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say my, yeah.
I think we have someone that looks like they want to add to the
great
conversation. Lori?
Yes, for your record, Lori Wimmer, representing the Oregon Education Association. Oops. Forgive me, my laryngitis. We were the requesters of this amendment in 2009, and it had no opposition from any stakeholders or legislators on the Senate side when it was part of that larger bill. Our concern about, and reason for asking Representative McPhee would bring the amendment today was that there is a voluntary merger going on right now in Eastern Oregon, and we wanted to make sure that the employees of those three different ESDs who are negotiating a merger would have the same protections that Oregon's 198 school districts already have. This language just mirrors what the school districts already have. They just don't have it at the ESD level.
Okay. Can I ask Lori a question? Thanks, Lori. So is it your sense that our colleagues over on the other side of the building would be supportive of this? And I ask that just because I'm concerned that we might pass this amendment, and then that could jeopardize the overall bill as it goes over there for concurrence.
Madam Chair and Representative Dimbrough, my understanding was that no one had a concern about the substance of our amendment on either side. In fact, it did pass the Senate, as I said, in 2009, and no one had any objection whatsoever.
Are there further questions? Seeing none, is there further discussion? Oh, Representative Harker.
I'm trying to think through how all of this would play out. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a question for you, I believe, Rep. Maurer. If some of these districts elect to combine we passed this amendment, what does this do to savings of money down the road?
Savings of money, it's merely an allowance for a negotiated contract to run its course, and that when the next time you bargain collectively upon expiration of a contract, then you are under a new set of circumstances, and that's how I would see it. Now, the combining of a school district, the language exists there, and thank you for bringing up that point, that those contracts don't disappear. if you combine a school district. But when they expire, then it's a new ballgame. Would that be correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Maurer, Representative Harker, our understanding is that with respect to the accrued seniority and other benefits, the employee is still performing the same job. If a newly formed entity undergoes changes that result in RIFing, there's a statutory process for that as well. But as long as an employee is going to be retained by an entity, we just didn't want them to lose their accrued seniority and other benefits that they had. If you have a 22-year employee who is still teaching the same children and they just have a new employer, it shouldn't be that they have to start over. And that is what could happen without this protection.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it always will, but it is just a statutory protection that school district employees have. And in the case of RIFing, you still have, even in a consolidation, I would point out, you still have a certain set of students to serve and a certain number of hours in a day and a certain need for a number of bodies to provide those services. Even in a merger, you usually have your top line administrative services where you can get some economies of scale in a merger, but not always your on the ground people.
Follow it. Thank you. So you said at one point, if an individual is to be retained to continue to provide services, then this would guarantee, you know, as a result of a merger, the decision is made to retain the individual, then they retain their seniority, salary, et cetera, their contract plays out as it has been, and then there's renegotiation. Does this amendment guarantee that people are retained in the event where districts are merged?
I don't think there's anything that would do that. The language says, if it's the duties, if the employee is employed in duties that after the reorganization are to be performed by the new education service district, if there are, let's say, were two different people, previously, and now it becomes, mm-hmm. there's just one position left. I don't think there's anything in there that guarantees a position for both of them.
But there's still a process for that reduction in force.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. What is your pleasure? Do you wish to consider this today or hold everything till Wednesday? Wednesday? Let's wait till Wednesday. And Dana, could we get the Governor's Reset team here on Wednesday too to talk about their work? Anything further for today?
So, Madam Chair, the amendment, bless you, amendment, who is going to take charge of drafting?
Dana.
Okay. And did we pick a date? I just want to make sure that if we pick a date, that there was a rationale for a date that was picked that made sense. 2012, what does that mean? Is it July 1st?
Right.
Which I think makes sense for a district.
Probably June 30th.
Okay, June 30th. But is that the right time?
And I had just passed a note to Dana asking her to draft it. You all had sent me notes that said 12 or 13, so I asked to have it drafted both ways so that you can have an opportunity to talk with folks about that and we can discuss that a little bit further. But I think June 30th is probably the right calendar date.
Yeah, okay.
Anything further on this bill today, or this issue today? All right, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 987. We are going to wait and hear SJR 50A on Wednesday. There's an amendment that we are waiting for, and Senator Edwards will come back that day and talk to us about it at that time. Is there anything further for today? Representative Van Orman.
I have a question. Thank you, Chair Gelser. Since we passed the House bill, it said it's almost the same thing. How does this work?
I think because we're not in a public hearing, probably that's a great question to ask Senator Edwards on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we're in the
Thank
public
you.
Hearing on the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much. Pass Committee on Education is adjourned.
Mm-hmm.